Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Tonight, we are going to be talking about physics, quantum physics, consciousness, timelines. What does all of this mean? Well, we're going to also be talking about science fiction novel. How does all of this come together? We think things, we hear things, we sense things. We think it's also out there. Is it reality? Is it cemented in science? Is it science fiction? Or is it where the world is going? Who really knows? We have no idea these days. Tonight, my guest is particle physicist Leslie Smith, and she's a writer, and her book we're going to be talking about tonight is The Quantum Cop. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure for me to join you guys and talk to your listeners. Should be fun.
So this is definitely interesting, I think, these times of days. And, you know, so many people, I'll tell you, I have so many degrees. I have so much education behind me. I've been to tons of physics classes and chemistry classes and everything. Yet when we conceptualize and talk to other people, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know where that's coming from. What's that all about? And you kind of just, you know, the world is changing so fast and people are getting so many ideas, you know, from the internet or from their education studies. And we go, where is everything going? Don't you think? We see everything. It's sort of like, you know, one of those plumes that goes up, you know, of smoke. You know, everything's all of a sudden blossoming, and people are kind of like grabbing at little pieces, and I'm not sure where we're all at. Do you?
It's a very exciting time, definitely. I think there's a lot of, like you're saying, a lot of new ideas. And I also do run into people that aren't quite sure about stuff, maybe have a little bit of resistance towards science. But I definitely think we should be open to new ideas. That's actually one of my core ideas. Be open to science, be open to new ideas, try and expand our horizons.
You know, and I think by writing a science fiction novel, that's really the best way, because you can put it all out there and you can expand upon it in a way that's creative, so that other people might say, this sounds cool, this is something I might understand, or maybe this is something that, hey, I've had it dabbled in that or touched on that before, right?
Yes, so that's totally what I was going for. So trying to get the neat ideas out there, trying to connect with readers, trying to help us all sort of expand our thinking.
You know, I can remember my physics teacher at this one school. He had just finished up, I guess, the job, quit or whatever. It was in the electron bombardment thing that was in Texas, this big place or whatever. And it was a real important job. And he kind of got, we'll say, demoted in a way, because now he was at a local college and he had to teach, you know, physics. And I'll never forget the first day, there was only like 12 of us in the class. And he started the left-hand back of the board and started writing a problem. And he did all of the sideboard, all of the front board, all of the other side. It was all in letters and symbols. And down at the bottom in the back right, there was a number. And he said, eventually you'll all understand this. Well, it must have scared everybody off, because by the second day of class, there was only three of us. you know, because
it's like you were a brave woman.
No, I wasn't that brave. I needed that class. I had to have that class. There was no other way. And no one else taught physics, so I had to have that class. But anyway, he kind of walked me through it, and eventually I think he just gave me the grade. But anyway, it was just, you can understand that, you know, we look at things and we see things that are so far outside of our realm of understanding. Yet if we just follow them through, little bits and pieces seem to come through the cracks, you know, because eventually you'll say, oh, I remember that. I didn't understand a thing they did, but I do eventually understand it, you know, a little piece here and there, you know. Don't you think it comes like forefront and it'll kind of draw you in again, or it will kind of cement what you may have thought in the past?
Well, your story about the physics class makes me sad. Part of my passion is getting people excited about science. And, of course, when you have a bad teacher, that does not help things. I think that science should not be outside our realm of understanding. I think we all can understand it. Of course, the problem is there are so many teachers that maybe never were taught how to teach.
Yeah. I think that was his deal. He was coming from such a high level of where he was that he hadn't come. I think it might have been a lesson for him, in fact, to come back to his core principles, you know. Because after Katrina, I can remember going down the street. And, gosh, I think I even revisited this in my thoughts maybe a few years ago. You would look up and you would see all of the telephone poles, and they were at an angle, you know, with all of the wires drooping down. And my thought was, okay, can we make this into a physics equation? And boy, this would be good. How far do you have to put the telephone poles down into the ground? And what kind of ground do you have that would hold the poles there and not sand, maybe cement? And then to have the wind to be able to push those wires and those poles to be able to tip like that. But then again, we think, oh, Louisiana is just this lily pod kind of land, so really there's water under it. And I was thinking all of the difference of the physics, you know, problem. You know, all of the how far down, that might have been a three-board equation, you know, to actually figure out how can you keep
three-board
equation.
That's a great three-board equation. That's a great expression.
We think about that, you know, but, you know, I look over to someone that was with me and I said, why can't they make the telephone poles to stay straight up even in a storm and not have, you know, so much destruction afterwards? And they looked at me like, are you crazy? Who cares, you know?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but that's something that I think we take our science education and we could say going forward, wow, that's how people end up in the jobs they end up in, right?
Sure. And it's actually that the telephone poles would have been a great problem for students in the area after that disaster to maybe understand a little bit better what had happened.
And I think we don't look outside of that. We just look at the what's cemented in the world today, don't you think? And we take it as gospel, and we don't let ourselves expand our imagination, our consciousness, or whatever, don't you think?
Well, I hope not. I hope that's not true.
Yeah, I think in your book, so you really take it outside. You know, the very first chapter is really when I think it draws you right in instantly, you know, when you become separated and you're able to look back at yourself and which timeline, and people will say, what are you talking about? So can you share a little bit about how your book starts, The Quantum Cop?
So, yes, thanks for asking. So my science fiction novel, The Quantum Cop, starts when a woman is on her way to her new job as a physics professor. And she's hit by a car, and she's not hit by a car. So her reality splits into two possibilities, and she basically observes herself in both situations and manages to use her consciousness to choose the reality in which she is not injured.
Right.
So
now, do you think that that is playing out now in reality?
Oh, that's a great question. So the idea here actually is based in physics.
Right.
In quantum mechanics, it's a real thing that all these different possibilities could happen. Personally, myself, I have not been hit by a car and not been hit by a car, so
right.
I can't say that this is a true story, but I do think there's a lot of possibilities out there, and it is based on solid physics ideas.
You know, because we have a lot of deja vu, have we been there before? So there are definitely timelines. I know myself in New Orleans, I could walk down the street and hear clip-clop behind me, and there's nothing there. You know, clip-clop like the horses, and there's nothing behind me. So I know, in a sense, I'm not hearing things. I am hearing the noise, the sound. So, in other words, I'm not... Well, maybe I am out there. But anyway, so that maybe is the timelines, you know?
And I love the idea of
right, and I think we like to diss those a lot. And I think if we start paying attention to more of those, we can start to develop a little bit more of our sense of who we are or what our place is in this world, really.
That's a great way to think about it.
You know, and when you think about, let's talk about these science experiments, because just recently, I think probably as maybe about a month or so ago, it's come across again. I was just, I don't know what the heck I was reading, but it was about the one with the dots and the wave line, and then you can change your consciousness, that experiment. And I don't even know where I was reading it. So can you share a little bit right in the beginning of the book, you start to talk about that?
The book does have some experiments based
right.
on real experiments. So the double slit experiment, which is takes advantage of the idea that particles are both particles and waves.
Right.
So scientists built this apparatus, and basically they shoot these little particles called electrons through the apparatus, and depending on if the particle is observed or not, you can get a sort of a wave interference pattern at the end, or you can get like single dots like particles.
Mm-hmm.
So I use that experiment in the book for the characters to try and understand the science of what's going on more.
Yeah, I think that is exactly the experiment that I was referring to, because I've seen it now probably twice. I've read something about it, or someone has spoken to me about it. And so when that's really about the observer then, so ask the big question, is life just observation?
Ah, what a great question. It's now we're getting sort of into the whole idea of what is reality and... Big questions,
right.
Big questions. I don't think we know for sure the answers to the big questions yet, but it is great to think about them and try and learn more.
Because I think, you know, this whole idea of two people can look at the sky and they'll both say it's blue, but they have a totally different concept of what the blue is.
Oh,
or
sure.
Someone can put your hand in and say this is water, and another could say this is cold water or this is hot water. You know,
yeah,
we see this everywhere, don't you think? You know, people have everybody has a different version.
Oh, that is so true. That is definitely true. Everyone does have their own version. Everyone is their own unique observer. And sometimes it gets in the way of us communicating with each other, I think. So we should be aware of it.
Yeah, I think it brings up... sometimes we have those who might understand things a lot easier and be a little bit more... Oh, gosh, I don't like the words of judgment, but we'll have to use some of them for point of reference. Someone may have more of an expanded knowledge or expanded consciousness or a concept of it, and others might not. And when you try to have a conversation or communicate what you're trying to say, it really gets in the way. And I know myself, gosh, it's been quite, I think, probably the last 10 years, having communication with some people, and you find that sometimes within the first 5 seconds or so, you say, oh, they disconnected, and it's like, ooh, stop talking, because either they're totally on a different wavelength, they totally haven't connected, or they just are not even getting it or something, you know, and we just totally disconnect ourselves from that timeline that we're even talking with them. Have you ever noticed, you know, when you're talking with someone, it's you just want to go, oh, no, that's okay, and you just stop talking?
Well, that's an interesting question. The idea of stop talking sort of sounds like what you have to say isn't valuable, which I would disagree with that.
I think the concept of understanding it, or even, in other words, the words aren't, they don't resonate with the same frequency, almost, more or less.
I've definitely had these experiences where I'm trying to communicate with someone and not being effective. But maybe I'm a little bit annoying. I would go further. I wouldn't stop talking.
Right.
I would try to connect. But yes, you definitely run into people that have different paradigms.
Right.
The different ways of viewing the world. And as a scientist, I actually find a lot of resistance against science when I go out and about. And people put up walls. I actually run into a lot of women that say they can't understand science.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know math. They can't do math.
Right.
And that's one of my passions, to try and help them believe they can do things. So I guess I'm more annoying than you. I would not stop talking. I would just keep going.
Well, I think also, too, that's where the sense of resistance is that you feel their resistance to it. In other words, your flow of your ideas and your thoughts, they had that resistance. They already put up that wall, you know. And I think a lot of times, too, where that plays out in real life, when people feel the resistance to life, they don't want to expand their knowledge, they don't want to expand their experiences. We see this quite often. You know, with healthcare, we see this with life in general. We see it with the emotional factors. People will say, but the doctor said, here's in his book, and it was printed in 1930, and this is the science. And it's like, gosh, do you ever think that maybe we all expand more, we all understand more, and that things can change, you know, going forward? And I think we get sometimes so rigid in some of those facts that it holds us back.
Yes, I agree. How do we solve the problem?
Books like yours, because I think the books like yours give you the freedom to do that, though. In other words, it doesn't place judgment on it as being a scientific journal that has to be studied and, you know, pondered upon. It's just saying that you have that expansiveness that you can speak outside of that, right?
Yeah, that sounds good. I definitely am in favor of expanding our thinking. And I agree, fiction is a easy way to do that. Doesn't have the judgment that other things have.
Can you explain a little bit? There was a phrase that you said a few different times in your book, and it's a human mind has to collapse the wave function. Now, I can tell you, you're not the only one that's written that. I've read probably, since I do the radio show, I read hundreds of books, and I've seen that phrase in some different books, a few medical books, health books, also in a lot of spirituality. What is your thought on writing that sentence?
Well, it's actually a physics idea, amazingly. So it goes back to quantum mechanics. So quantum mechanics is the physics of very small particles. When you add in special relativity with that, which is very fast particles, you combine those two areas and you get quantum field theory. Quantum field theory is very well-accepted theory, and it's based on a lot of math, which is all very elegant and very accepted by every scientist. But it has one problem, in that when you get to the end of all this beautiful math, it says that everything that could happen has basically says everything might happen. So there's all these infinite possibilities out there, and they're all possible. So the science of physics leaves it there. So there's infinite possibilities. So, of course, as human beings, we don't experience infinite things, right?
Right.
So there is what they call interpretations of this science. And the most popular one says that a human consciousness is necessary to pick among all these possibilities and create reality. So, I mean, it's a basic physics idea. It's been actually around for quite a long time.
And don't you think that this is bringing us right back to in the beginning we started this conversation, is that the human has limits on what they can conceptually think of based upon their reality and their experience. In other words, they're limiting themselves. They're not expanding their thoughts. They're not saying, what is my potential? They're saying, what is my ability? And that is quite two different things. You know, your ability is something that you get validation for back from somebody else. Yes, I did this. Can you see it and tell me, yes, I did that, you know, and it's correct. But when you have potential out there, potential is not always validated.
Wow.
Yes, no.
That's a great insight. I think that's very true. We all do have a lot of potential that we probably aren't even taking advantage of. And you're right, we do seem to be limited by our past experiences and our past sort of input from other people. I agree with you. That's a great insight.
You know, it's funny because in the summertime I go into the pool where I live, and I would say when I walk down into the pool, I just float. And I don't try to float. My body just floats. And I have a few psychic friends, intuitive, spiritual people, medical people, you name it. I have a full realm of different types of people that, you know, are based in science. They're based in theories. They're based in, you know, what can be proven, what can be replicated or validated. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, wow, I never heard that one before. And, you know, I would say it to a few different types of people, and they would always have the same answer. I never heard that before. And I'm just thinking, well, cool. Well, I have. And I would keep going into the pool to prove it to myself that what I was saying was exactly what I was experiencing, whether or not no one else was watching me, no one validated it, and no one was out there to give me a reason why. It's really for us and our experience to give it validation.
Yes, I agree. If we are limited by external validation, then we're limited, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough place to be. I think so many people will say, I saw something or sensed something and I'm afraid to speak about it. And then they kind of go into this hole where they end up eventually questioning everything in their life, and they end up with mental health concerns. You know, and that is potentially a dark place for a lot of people. I know I've been in healthcare since the early 70s, and I can honestly say a lot of my earlier years were in mental health working. And when you speak or sit down with people, you would look and they would say, don't you see this sparkle? Just look at my hand. Can't you see it? Or they would say things like, well, I saw that over there. Don't you see he's moving that way? So potentially in the early 70s and early 1900s, we would call that they had a mental health break. Whereas now I think mental health is coming to the point where they just want to drug you, of course, and put you away or whatever. But there is the other branch of the spirituality where people are saying, no, you are correct. You are seeing that. You are sensing that. And I think physics is kind of right in the middle, and it could bounce either way. In other words, it has some of the science of the past, but it also has the potentiality of the future, don't you think?
Oh, sure. The physics has a lot of potentiality of the future. I mean, we definitely haven't reached its full potential. There's a lot. Who knows what the heck will be going on in the future with science, with physics. I look forward to seeing that. You touched on mental health, though. That's tricky. Certainly, we don't want to make anyone go into a dark place.
Right.
And, of course, I'm not a medical professional. But certainly, if anyone is suffering and feels like they need mental health assistance, I would encourage them to get that.
But I also think, too, is the idea of about speaking out and not being afraid to speak out. No, find your confident people and say, I sense something. Is this different? Do you know what I mean? Instead of going into a hole and feeling that it's something wrong, you know? Because we are sensing and feeling a lot of these things. People will say, even look at the sky. Gosh, I can remember. If we ever had this conversation in the 50s and 60s, and they would say, did you look up at the sky today and did you see that? Nobody ever did. But now everybody's got a cell phone and everybody's clicking pictures of the clouds, you know? So, in other words, time has taken us along a paradigm to notice other things in our world and around us. And people are saying, oh, cool, look at this, you know? Or did you actually know that, you know, I see the end of this rainbow and here it is in the middle of the street in front of me, where a long time ago that was like, there is no end of the rainbow and what are you talking about? So I think we've come, you know, that a lot of our things that we're seeing, just more people are seeing them if we speak out about it. You know, we don't want to say that the world is a scary place. It's not a scary place at all. It's just it's everybody is experiencing different things and being able to speak about them. And I think that's where we get book writers, we get scientists. They're saying, I saw something and I want to figure it out. And that's where scientists are really grasping. They're saying, I want to see this. I want to prove this. Let's figure out how this is working. And that's where we're getting a lot of these really great, unique concepts coming out of science now, don't you think?
Totally. I also agree that our cultural paradigm as a whole is changing. I think you're right there. Definitely, if you look over the years, it has changed, which is exciting because who knows where we're going to end up in the future. And actually, you're right. We're only going to keep changing if people do speak their truth, speak their mind. Mm-hmm. So I hope our conversation today can encourage people to maybe have the confidence to talk about what they want.
Yes, because I think it's all out there. I mean, we look at now television. You know, there's going to be a show on this week, and it's called Genesis. I think it's Genesis. I'm not quite sure if I remember that correctly. But, Genius, that's it. Well, whatever, something like that. And it's about this hospital where great technological people and scientists are going to create this hospital where miracles happen. And we think someone had to conceptually think of that, right? Someone had to say, wow, wouldn't it be cool if the hospital did this? Or wouldn't it be cool if we could fix a body like that? Or what if this machine did that? So all of these thoughts and these ideas are out there. And then to put them into a television show and then people take it further, I think it's really exciting where science goes.
Oh, I totally agree. It's very exciting. And you're right, it is becoming more mainstream that these neat ideas are shared. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. You know, and I love at the end of your book where you have where the two Madisons come together. you know, and they join forces to be able to, you know, where you said the strong force is weak, you know, against Luke. And can you share a little bit about the end? I don't want to give away the story, but you just share a little bit that it's the idea that it's the two people and then they can together overcome. You know, sometimes people will say, I feel weak, but I know inside I'm strong. That's really a concept. And then you say, well, just join that together, and what are you afraid of? So it's really about bringing your inner and your outer thoughts together to say, I can face a challenge or a fear or a person or an experience. I think we see this a lot with even something as simple as stage fright. We say, I have never had that experience. I fear that, you know, so that might be one part of you. And then you say, but inside, you know, hey, I can sit down to kids and I could tell 100 kids a good story and they all laugh. So it's joining those two together to be able to have a solid experience, you know. And I think that's really what the end of the book, how it comes together, is that, you know, we can experience it. So bring your outer and inner together to be strong force.
Wow, you really put that well. I love it.
So where did I take that?
I'm going to have to use that elsewhere. So I love that way you put it. So, yes, basically realize that your weakness, you know, can become a strength. I can face a challenge. So basically it's sort of, well, so the last scene sort of harkens back to the chapter one, where there's two Madisons,
right.
And you're right, I don't want to totally give everything away.
Oh, the book is great. You have to read it to be able to get it, though. So I don't think we're giving anything away. We're just intriguing even further, so go ahead.
So there are two Madisons again,
yeah.
And basically she has to overcome some challenges by basically using all the parts of herself.
You know, I think even in a spirituality sense, this book is definitely a great read for many of our listeners, because it will really, it will take you on an adventure where you will feel more solid in this earth, more human, if you need that concept. You will feel that kind of takes you on a journey just to say, I have this sense or this reality. Part of it can be explained by science. Part of it is still my imagination, and I'm able to go along that timeline and check it out. And then at the end, say, you know, all is good. And just to solidify and say, okay, on to the next experience, journey, or concept. And that's how I see it. And I think while your book is definitely, you have your concepts and your thoughts, I see it in another sense. And look, at there again is another two paradigms of potential possibilities, right?
Ah, I love it. That is one wonderful thing about books, is actually the author and the reader create something new together. It's a new entity together that we make.
Yeah, you know, I think that they could read your book, The Quantum Cop, and I think you could probably have a discussion where not one person could agree on the same thing. They'd say, I read that and I got this. I read this and I picked this out, or gosh, I read the whole book and I don't even know what you're talking about, you know?
How many times
do we hear that, you know, when people say that, they'll say, I didn't even pick out that storyline. I got a different storyline, right?
Right, that's totally true. That's part of the art, I think, of books, of stories. It's each combo of reader and author make their own unique experience. It's all different. Everybody gets something different from it.
And I think that's the most important part. Many times we've had guests on this radio show that have been in a profession, have several degrees, and then they turn around and they write, and they write a book. And the book is totally off of their field, but yet it is their field, where they will take something like medicine, and they will take it to a whole other level, or they will, a cardiologist will talk about in esoteric terms about a broken heart, or we will have people who talk about depression in poetry. And here yours is science through a science fiction novel. So really it's all about being able to share that other side or that other sense of, your reality and say, wow, wouldn't this be cool if this did this? And wouldn't it be cool if this did that? You know? And being free to be able to do that, to be able to speak out and say, you know, sometimes we think of things that are so solidified and we say, well, we'll just speak of those because we feel safe. And it's about being able to take all of your ideas and being, you're still a little safe, but you're kind of teetering on the edge, you know. Look at all of the millennials now. My goodness, I'm 60. But, hey, look at these 20-year-olds. They're jumping off of everything, you know. We look at they're jumping off ledges, they're jumping off buildings, they're jumping off, you know, rocks. Some of them have got parachutes, some don't. And we go, gosh, they feel so free and they feel so open in their world, you know. So it's really where the world is expanding, don't you think?
Oh, yes, I agree. And it's, I hope that examples like this novel encourage readers and listeners to maybe explore all the sides of their lives. You know, what various parts of their lives can they bring together and maybe create something new?
Yeah, I think it's about being able to be free, too, you know, be able to say it. You know, it's funny. I'm in natural medicine, and there's another family member who is in traditional, we call it medicine, and I will say something, and I will say, oh, they will come to me with, you know, a heart problem, and I will say, oh, gosh, what happened in your past? You know, did somebody break your heart? And then yet the other traditional will say, oh, no, what's a lab test, you know? And we look at it and we say those are all pieces and parts of that, you know, and all little, the story around the whole system, yet it still brings us back to the human, you know, and having all those experiences. And it's just kind of interesting, I think, in the world today.
Well, the human is definitely interesting. I hope medicine doesn't ignore the human.
Oh, it does.
Oh, no.
Well, we all know that science has to be, quote, proven and reproducible, right? Duh.
Oh,
but
true.
Yet is not the human not an individual? I think, I mean, even in your book you say that there is no one other than like ourselves. I mean, like, you're not like me. You're similar, but you're not like me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like me might mean, similar means we exist. We kind of have a physical body. We talk, you know, we move, we have jobs, we have work, whatever. But like me would be like, maybe, did you see the blue and it's similar to the blue that I see, you know? Or is the water feel the same temperature as mine? That would be more similar, you know? And so I think it's kind of different out there. What do you think?
Things are different out there, yes. We all do have our own perceptions. I totally agree with that. Another one of my passions, I talked about women having opportunities to do science, I hope,
yes,
and math, and not being discouraged.
Right.
I'm also, one of my passions is having a more diverse scientific workforce. Traditionally, of course, scientists tended to be white men, and I hope mm-hmm. that's changing more and more all the time. So we do have different cultural aspects that come into play as well, but I hope that we all have opportunities.
And, you know, I think it's kind of cool in your book, too, is that you have one of your characters is similar to, well, I will say maybe, we'll think it might be a geek, a little bit disoriented. You know, we think of the backpack half open all the time kind of idea. And sometimes in their misconstrued self, they actually stumble upon those things that are to be explored. You know, sometimes we say, when this happens, I plug this in, and oh my gosh, it went poof. Well, oh, cool. Instead of looking at it as you broke it, you can look at it as why did it go poof, you know? So I think sometimes our misconstruedness or our things that might seem as though they are off and maybe not that where we would understand, we can actually take it and learn something from it.
I like it. So basically you're saying every problem is a challenge and not a bad thing.
Right. I think, excuse me, I think, you know, it was cool when I read in your book, you know, about the character that has a backpack and the paper's falling out all the time. It's kind of an opportunity. What happens, you know, when I think back on that, I can see like the person walking down the hall in the backpack and then the paper's falling out. And what it actually did was it brought you back to the sense of attention. You noticed the papers, you saw the person, and then something else will come to light. You'll say, oh, by the way, or oh, cool, let me help you. Or maybe, oh, hey, I forgot to tell you. You know, so I think everything is open to potential possibilities. I guess I just see the world like that. But I think I've always been that way, too. So for me to be very linear is probably a little bit more of a stretch than to be where I am, you know, to be able to see all of that out there. And I think you do that in your book. You're really, you know, you put all the potential down there and you say, what if, you know?
I think that's an important idea. Actually, a lot of scientific discoveries have happened by accident. So
right.
You have to be open to these different things. Really, you almost have to be open to be successful.
Yeah, and that's really pretty much where it comes from. I think, you know what, Leslie, I think you had some other books on your website. Could you share with the listeners about some of those? That would be wonderful.
So thank you for asking. We've been talking about The Quantum Cop. I actually wrote a second book in the series called The Quantum Murder, where the physicist Madison continues her adventures.
Cool.
I have a book called Temporal Dreams, which is actually a time travel book based on the Australian Aborigine idea of the dreaming. Or dream time.
Mm-hmm.
I have a book called Reality Alternatives, which also has a female physicist protagonist, but she observes another universe and then from that ends up changing her own life. And I also have Cat Cubed, which has three different versions of the same woman, Catherine, in the future. And one of the fun things I explored in that book is how much does your world and your specific experiences influence your life? So how different are you if you would have grown up on a different world?
Cool. You know, all of these books sound so exciting. You know, definitely our listeners are right on there with you because a lot of these concepts that you've spoken about, we've spoken about on the show before. And even when you said about the Aboriginal, the dream time, we had a guest just recently speaking about trauma trails. And she did a lot of studying with the Aboriginal people about the trauma trails and how that heals and how you go together with compassionate and empathic listening to be able to change your timeline going forward by healing the past, you know, not only the present but ancestral lineage. So definitely our listeners are right up there with you. A lot of these stories sound really exciting. Is there a website to be able to find out more information?
Sure. Thanks for asking. So just LeslieLSmith.com, LeslieLSmith. I even have some places there for interact with readers if you had any feedback for me. I enjoy getting feedback.
Sounds really cool. I think our listeners would definitely enjoy a lot of these books. I think they kind of... you know, for those of us who are feeling, oh, hey, this is kind of way out there, like myself and maybe a lot of our listeners, sometimes we feel a little bit over the edge or a little bit, am I disconnecting? Maybe I need to rein it back in. I think your books are great to say, oh, no, she kind of gets it too. So I think it's a good idea, you know, to have a little bit something in print to say, oh, it's okay, we're all right, you know.
Oh, you are all right. What do you mean?
Yeah, and it's just, well, you know, hey, sometimes when you, look, scientists get that too in the beginning. When you get that theory, you know, that is a bit hanging over the end, you know, right?
Well, that's true. I guess you have to be willing, though, to creep over the edge a little bit to make progress.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I think there was a period of time, and I've said it on my radio, I think it might have been a few years ago, and it was a time of, I would always say, I'm living in the abyss. I'm living in the abyss. And they would be, what is that? I said, everything is just white around me. I don't know. It's just the abyss. And this went on for like maybe, I guess, maybe 2 or 3 years. And I just kind of muddled my way through that, and I kind of came out of the abyss, and it was like, oh, okay. And things just seemed all A-okay after that. And people would say, you know, when times get tough, you might go to the abyss for safety. When times are, you know, hey, this just doesn't make sense anymore, and I'm just going to wait until it shows itself, that's the abyss. Or, hey, when you've got a theory, you're reaching into that abyss for an idea, you know, and it comes out and it says, this is your idea. And it's almost like you put your hand into the abyss and you pull it back and you look at your hand and you don't know what it is yet, but you're going to look at that experience and you're going to say, I'm willing to go into that experience to see what's in there for me, or, hey, wouldn't that be cool, or how did you get here in the first place? And that's really what science will help you do, is direct your thoughts. It will bring in some concepts, ideas, thoughts, and facts, and to be able to bring into your ideas to say, maybe I know this, maybe I don't know this. And I really think a lot of Leslie books are really great about that. Today we spoke about the Quantum Cop. And I think when you're able to get outside of yourself and say, you know, I'm free and I'm open, I'm not just going to live my life with, oh gosh, I have this one acquaintance and he forever says, things are the way they are. It's always the way it is. I'm comfortable. And I'm going, oh gosh, so boring. So I know, Leslie, a lot of our listeners are not into the boring. They're way into the experiences. And I really think this is a great show today. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing your work.
Well, gosh, thank you. What a fun conversation.
It'll take you all kinds of shades of this, that, or the other, huh?
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to find out more information about Leslie L. Smith, the book we spoke to today is The Quantum Cop. Her website is on the bottom of today's show page. You can click on there and go directly to the website and find out more about her other books. And really do not be afraid when you see, feel, hear, or sense things. Ask around. Ask a few people. Ask, you know, the science people, the out there people. Listen to the shows. You just never know. Read a few science fiction books. You never know. Maybe someone else has thought of it beforehand and put it down in words and you don't feel that out, far out there. No problem. So don't worry. And if you'd like to share comments, again, Leslie has a space on her website. Please do put all your comments in about her book. She loves to hear your feedback. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.